have everybody's attention now? Burn it
down! This is the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast.
Finally, The Rock has come back home.
Scotty Villa brings you your new favorite pro wrestling podcast.
There is nothing you could do that is more dangerous than wrestling CM Punk.
He's got the latest in covering all of the major promotions in professional wrestling.
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
Breaking news and hot topics, he's covering everything from Monday night till Sunday night's main event.
I'm the hottest thing in professional wrestling. I'm Dr. Britt Baker.
And we never forget to go old school.
I was rowdy before rowdy was cool.
From the golden era.
The irresistible force meeting the immovable object.
To the attitude era.
And if you're not down with that, Philly's got two words for ya.
To the revolution.
It's about the 14 years it took me to go from undesirable to un-goddamn-deniable.
And everything in between.
Super Kick Hot Tag!
This is your pro wrestling podcast. This is In My House.
Give me a hell yeah!
Welcome to my house, baby, take control.
Ooh. Welcome everyone to the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. It's Scotty Villa. It is the 92nd man himself, Monday Night Mike.
Hello, hello.
That's just us again this week, pal.
That's right. It's an In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast Palooza. Because it just proves that putting Palooza on something makes it good. Oh, wait.
Well, UK Tom will be back next week, I believe.
Yeah, fuck UK Tom. Let it be known, this is week two without UK Tom.
That's true.
I don't show up for two episodes in a row. It is a bloodbath of my name. Just through the mud.
Yeah.
The listeners lose faith in me. I don't become the fan favorite I am when I'm missing weeks. Tom already, forgettable part of the podcast, apparently.
According to Kyle.
Yeah, and just not helping his case by not showing up for work 2 weeks in a row.
That is true. Not helping him at all.
No.
So we're hoping he's back next week.
He says he'll be back.
He says. Maybe he doesn't show up, but Toyota Tom does.
We can only hope Toyota Tom revisits WrestlePalooza.
Yeah, we're gonna have to circle back to the Palooza with Tom next week.
Yeah,
just to get his thoughts.
I mean, it won't be a Palooza filled episode like this one.
Oh, this one's
it's a Palooza.
This one's oozing Palooza, bud. First, before we get into the Palooza, because we're gonna talk a lot of Palooza.
We're gonna talk a lot of Palooza. Yeah.
How are you?
I'm good.
You good.
I'm good. I'm doing well.
Nice.
I mean, I watched WrestlePalooza live.
You sure did.
I did.
Which is, I'm not going to lie, for me, and I don't want to speak for Tom, but I think for him too, it's a fun experience that even if we're not in the same house watching the show, but we're all watching it live, the group chat's lit up, we're having a blast. Even when one of us is like, guys, I'm putting my phone down to really watch this match, that doesn't last long.
No, God, no.
No.
And sometimes when I'm not watching it live, I do like the updates.
Yeah.
If I'm out doing something, yeah, go for it. Like Monday Night Raw. I don't even know why I'm watching the 90-second recap. I'm getting it directly to my phone every Monday. That's SmackDown true. Is a little less just because of watching schedule.
Yeah.
But Monday Night Raw is a guarantee I'm getting anywhere from 40 to 100 text messages in that group chat.
Yep, pulling the curtain back on this one. Yeah, Tom and I will, for the most part, watch Raw on Monday night, either live or on a bit of a delay. But you're one of those guys that's like, spoil everything. I don't care. I'll find out from you. If I don't find out from you, it's on the internet, so I'll find it out then. So
I will be on Twitter so fast if there's something like groundbreaking where it's just like, hey, this happened. I'm like, oh, well, WWE is pretty quick to put it on their Twitter the second it happens.
Exactly. So that's kind of how it works with us on the pod here, but WrestlePalooza, we all watched it live.
Yeah.
I think we were all hyped for the show. Like, we were like, ooh, it's got a pretty solid card walking in. I mean, we all heard the show last week where you and I basically previewed the entire show throughout and we all made our picks.
Yeah. Am I right?
How'd you do?
Not well.
Not well. We're getting late in the year. Book of the year is cut off is the last.
Drifting away from me.
Yeah.
Further and further each premium live.
Actually, that's interesting. So Survivor Series is the last WWE pay-per-view of the year, which is November.
Oh.
There is a Saturday Night Main Event in December, though. Do we want to count that? Or
what, do we count Raw matches at this point?
I'm just saying. So Survivor Series is the cutoff?
I would think if it, right. That I look at as a PLE. Like, I don't think they're looking at Saturday Night Main Event
as a
premium live event that's on YouTube.
Yeah.
So
that's fair. Okay, sounds good.
I mean, maybe I should try to get all the points back because Jesus
Christ. I should
Christ.
Shut the fuck up because I'm doing pretty well this year.
Oh, I think you're in a comfortable lead for...
Not too bad.
For Booker of the Year. UK Tom, again, never going to win one. Fuck you, UK Tom. Way to show up for work.
So WrestlePalooza has come and gone. It was, for us, just on Netflix like everything else is. Mm-hmm. In the States, they made a pretty big deal of it being on ESPN for the first time, which you saw how big of a deal they took that with the opening video package, which I was like, can we wrap this up here? Like, holy smokes.
Yeah, it was a... pretty slow start to WrestlePalooza.
We did get a new Then Now Forever Together.
Oh, well, groundbreaking stuff,
which
right?
Almost had to do an emergency pod on that because it was real good.
Tom wouldn't have shown up for that anyway.
But let's get into the opening match. We found out last week, opening match, John Cena versus Brock Lesnar, The Beast versus T-Shirt Boy, whatever you want to fucking call him. Mike. Legitimate goosebumps when Brock came out. When you see the size of that guy, and I don't know if it's new camera angles, a new way of his entrance kind of being coming out, I fucking popped huge. I love the pro wrestler that is Brock Lesnar. There's nothing about him that makes him look or act like anybody else on the planet.
Well...
it's awesome. It's such an awesome
play. Yeah, it was an entrance where Brock Lesnar came out.
It was great. Mike, no. Come on. Come on.
Yeah.
Don't be that guy. It was a. You got hyped when Brock came out.
I mean, I felt the goosebumps for when the greatest pro wrestler of all time came out, John Cena.
Cody main evented, so that was the main event.
Guile himself. Guile himself. Yep.
But we get Brock and we get Cena. We get the Cena... ring announcement, and then we get the announcement of Brock Lesnar by Paul Heyman,
mm-hmm.
which we saw on SmackDown where Brock and Paul's paths crossed. They shook hands, they smiled, said we should talk, and then they went away. So this is what was part of the deal. You're going to announce Brock one more time. And in my head in that moment, Mike, I'm thinking this might be it for Brock. This might be Brock's last match. We don't know it. He's going to ride off into the sunset, but Paul announced him one more time. Because that would be a perfect ending for Brock up against what some people say is a very good wrestler in John Cena.
I mean, it's not what we say on this podcast. We say the greatest pro wrestler of all time.
Some people say that. Not everyone on this podcast.
It's two against one. So it's like we speak for the podcast. You're outvoted, clearly.
Yeah, I am outvoted on that.
Yeah,
but I will never stop speaking.
Well, it doesn't matter. In My House Pro Wrestling podcast thinks John Cena is the greatest wrestler of all time.
So, now, while I don't agree with that, the bell does ring.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it did.
Mike, what happens once the bell rings?
A whole lot of nothing, Scott. A whole lot of nothing. A brief trip to Suplex City, to be expected, because Brock Lesnar now shows up to just do those suplexes.
Yep.
And the F5.
Yep.
And he does those.
Sure does.
I mean, John Cena also showed up to work to hit the AA three times.
No, he did more than that. He talked so fucking loud calling spots the entire goddamn time that we all heard it.
In a match, you probably didn't need to call spots in. Probably, you talked about that backstage and that was good enough for what you saw.
I'm going to state the obvious.
Please do.
I'm not a pro wrestler, never have been, never will be due to my physical condition because I'm fat and out of shape.
Mm.
There's a very good chance I'll never take a bump.
Okay.
Or learn the real inner workings of how to put together a pro wrestling match.
Yeah.
But we've seen shows like Unreal and all these things, so we do know some things that are exposed behind the business. I feel like those guys said, we'll call it in the ring. And then when they got in the ring, obviously they knew how to do the get to the finish and what the meat of the match was. Suplexes, F5s, and attitude adjustments. But after in between those spots, I don't think they were on the same page. Because you could both see them talking blatantly to each other. And it takes me right out of it. If I'm at a movie theater watching a film and an actor says line, you're taking me out of the movie. Now, I don't think that's ever happened. You know why? Because it's a movie.
And it's edited. But it's also not live.
Have you ever seen Bret Hart talk that much in a match, or Shawn Michaels, Kurt Angle? No, you haven't. And you're giving this greatest of all time moniker to fucking Jorts Boy.
Yeah, Jorts Boy is the greatest of all time.
For years in his matches, blatantly. Mm-hmm. And there's no, in my opinion, there's nothing that clicks. There's no one in the back saying, can you get better at this so we don't see or hear you talking?
They got, like, the death of kayfabe. It all comes back to that. No one cares. The average fan doesn't care. They don't. They really don't.
But if you're bringing in new eyes to ESPN, and the first wrestler that some of these people that are maybe just checking out WWE for the first time on ESPN is Brock Lesnar, and they're going, that's the guy from the UFC. That's the guy that's in the lawsuit right now, because Scott. We all know. But then they watch Scott. This match with John Cena, and they're already skeptical as it is because they're not wrestling fans. And then they're going, I can clearly see, they're talking to each other. Why am I watching this?
Scott, those are the same people who have been saying wrestling is fake all of their lives.
And John and Brock didn't do a good job of changing their opinion. They did a bad job. There are people. There are people.
That one guy in his sweatpants that's still real to him, damn it, is the only person on the planet who is still...
I'm sitting right here.
I don't get as hurt by that as you do, and maybe it's the fun nitpicking session of Scotty Villa on the show where John Cena is too loud. He is noticeably loud. I can't sit here and be like, no, he's not. That's a bold-faced lie. You can hear him clear as day.
And there's so many cameras on you, dude.
But it also doesn't hurt what was already not a good match.
So this is my thing, Mike.
Here, okay, all right. You got a thing. Is it a nitpick?
No, I love Brock. I love Brock.
I think we're in a bad era of Brock for when we, I think, got the best beast. Like when Brock was really firing on all cylinders, yep. Brock Lesnar can't be stopped. Like the beginning of Suplex City, bitch, Brock Lesnar, man, oh man.
Yeah. Pretty much all of his interactions with Roman.
Yeah.
Leading up to the match at SummerSlam with the tractor.
How good of a match is that, though?
Probably my favorite Brock match.
Yeah.
It's so much fun. Here's my other issue.
Okay. I like that you're coming in hot on this.
Brock Lesnar is, in my opinion, one of the best sellers in the business, mm-hmm. and has been since the day he stepped in. For a guy that size, he sells his ass off to make everybody look good for when they finally knock him off his feet or get the upper hand. John's not a small boy, so I don't think it should take much to get Brock off of his feet and have Brock selling for him. Okay. You threw all that away to just do finishers and suplexes.
Thank you. I was hoping that's where you were going to lead down this road. You're going to take three AAs, but then magically get up during the five-knuckle shuffle like those did nothing to you? It's still wrestling, man.
I know.
Like, lay that out a bit. Sell the shock, right? Cena's like, his face could do the work there. Brock could still lay down. All of that happened way too fast. And then it just turned into, here's some suplexes and here's fucking a dozen F5s.
Yeah.
Which we've talked about in previous weeks, that the Cena retirement run, which you so hate.
Hate it.
I think, like, if we're going to look back on the Cena retirement run, maybe never on this show because you just won't have it.
Oh, no, I actually said to a guy at work today, I think at some point before Survivor Series, we are going to have to do a full reflection of this year of John Cena. I can even do a little bit right now. I've already got a little bit right now based on this match.
Oh, yeah.
Based on this match. And I will take partial blame for my opinion on or for my thought on it, because maybe it's because I looked at this retirement tour a different way. Because in the past, the perception for retirement tours is, sure, you're going to go out, have a great year, and do these great matches with guys you've worked with and people you haven't worked with. And then eventually you're going to put over somebody and you're going to go out on your shield and with your back on the mat, counting the lights. So there's this perception that John's going to be working with a lot of younger guys. He hasn't.
No.
Who's the only true babyface that's not named Cody Rhodes that he's put over? Really nobody, except you could maybe say Jey Uso in the Royal Rumble.
See, and this is, I think, the issue I have is, like, the heel turn when it happened was, like, got me on the path of, like, this could be really awesome.
I was with you.
This could be really awesome. I think booking really fell off because they're like, God damn, like, him as a heel just isn't going to work. If we were to be like, John came and he's like, I want to lay out my plan. Like, I'm going to come back. I'm going to do this run. You should have kept him Fruity Pebbles the entire time, looking back on it.
Agreed.
Now, that could have got over heels. And that could have got Gunther over. That all these guys, like Logan Paul, probably could have got over here as that ultimate bad guy. That's what this should have been done with, right? You went for the shock and awe moment of someone, you know, again, their dick just getting demolished by the guy you never thought would. But then you had no follow-up to what was a great moment. They only went for, we're going to get eyes on this moment in social interaction here.
Yep.
And all of that fell off. Now, WWE has had a hot 12 months, in my opinion. They've had a great last year. So coming to WrestlePalooza, I think I should temper my own expectations that these shows are sometimes going to miss. Like, they can't be perfect every time. This opener was proof that, yeah, they're definitely not there. I don't think Cena should have wrestled Brock. I don't think this match should have happened. If anything, you should have found a way to push the program. I think it's, like, honestly leading up to his end. Because now we're done with Brock. And we talked last week, like, hey, are they going to go again? Would it make sense for them to go again? At this point, why?
Well, see, that's part of my just massive confusion with this whole retirement tour. Outside of Cody, Brock is the only buddy that's beaten John.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck is it doing for Brock? Brock's not a full-time guy. Brock's not in the title picture. And Brock beat him clean. Mm-hmm. It's not like he cheated.
No.
So, at what, like, John basically just has to eat shit and like it because he just lost.
So, John, when's he done?
He's got quote unquote 5 appearances left. He's now confirmed for his next appearance, I believe, is Crown Jewel against AJ Styles. That was confirmed today.
So is he in or out at Survivor Series?
I believe he's in.
Then there's the ultimate payoff with the Brock. Because Brock's gonna join up with the Heyman Division crew guys. For sure.
You're gonna put Brock in War Games?
Yeah.
I'm buying a ticket. I'm already sold. I love it.
I think it gets Cena back over there with the faces, and the faces will win at Survivor Series, which it's a good, happy way to end your run there.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Cena's going to lay down in that.
Well, and that's, like I was saying, so now it's just been Cody and Brock that have beaten Cena.
Uh-huh.
He's got 5 appearances left, and I think 3 of those are matches. One's against AJ at Crown Jewel in Australia, whatever Survivor Series is, and then his last match, which I believe is a Saturday Night Main Event in Washington, D.C. in mid to late December.
Well,
so, like, you're not going to give another match to Brock. So if he's only got 2 matches left because the AJ takes the other one, who the fuck is he putting over in these last 2?
Exactly.
One, in my opinion, it's got to be Gunther. That's got to be one of them.
Does it at this point? Like, I think you should have done Gunther already.
Well, yeah, but Gunther's been gone since what, Mania? A little after Mania. Here's what you do, Mike. Here's what you do. You have Gunther versus Cena. Maybe it's the last match. Gunther goes over Cena. That sets up Gunther versus Brock for Mania.
Ooh. We all like the idea of Gunther versus Brock.
That's what we all wanted until some of these legal issues came up. That was the plan, alleged plan to begin with a couple years ago. But let's get back to the match.
Yeah.
The match was a typical Brock Lesnar, this version of Brock Lesnar style match. Suplexes, F5s. He takes a couple finishers, kicks out, and then he goes back to an F5 and wins. And then he's out again. Who knows when we see Brock again? As much as I love Brock, I was like, fuck off.
Mm-hmm. I don't... Anyone in good conscience who can come up and be like, that was awesome. I'm like, I don't think we watched the same thing. Like, I never want to say, like, everyone is entitled to their own opinion, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
but, like, you can't walk away and be like, that was good. Nothing about that was good. I don't actually know what it did for either guy. And this is my biggest, like, the match could have been that if it did something for someone. It did nothing for anyone.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar came back and got booked like Brock Lesnar. John Cena is on the end of his career in this tour and lost to Brock Lesnar and still doesn't do anything for John. Like,
now he's fighting AJ Styles.
Which, I mean, like, cool for AJ. I think that's great for AJ.
Oh, absolutely. They do have great chemistry together. But, I mean, why have the match with Brock to begin with? If you're going to put a loss on Cena's record for his final year... Fucking give it to Logan Paul. Give it to Gunther. Give it to Penta. Give it to somebody that Bronson Reed, fucking anybody that could really use that win. And John taking a loss doesn't hurt him ever. But
it feels like they did it for moments, for engagement, instead of long term booking. The mm-hmm. moment Brock came back was solely for the pop and to say, look who's back.
And for ESPN.
Yeah. And then here we are.
Yeah.
With an empty opener in the John, like they're picking up pieces after the heel turn went sour. Like they basically just like erased that as fast as possible in a promo.
One of the
like,
worst. Just
it's true. I wait till the end. Of I'm the not going to sit here and argue that like the way they dissolved the heel run of John Cena was good. But I don't put that on John Cena because at that point you have writers in the back and you have your booking committee who just really dropped the ball.
Yep.
Yep. And yeah, you're gonna see John in these high profile matches because rightfully so. This is John Cena's retirement tour. He means a lot to the WWE. I could give a fuck what you want to say about John Cena. His presence was in an era where you were coming after the Attitude Era, and you had to do something different, and he did.
I 100% agree. He's the right guy at the right time. They needed to get away from the rated mature. They needed another Hulk Hogan-esque venture to reset wrestling, essentially. You'd already basically gone as far as you could with what you could do on broadcast television when it comes to the Attitude Era. The Ruthless Aggression Era did fine, but it wasn't the Attitude Era, so that's where there was thing. I've always agreed that you needed to reset wrestling, and Vince and John did that. You made a PG again. You made it so families could literally watch it every Monday night. But I just, outside of that, I just not a John Cena guy. Just,
sure.
He was not my guy. But I'll never deny that it needed to happen, 100%.
I think it completely deserves to have this.
It worked happen. A billion times over. It even worked on Saturday at WrestlePalooza. Children were crying in the crowd when Brock murdered their hero.
Just jerking off in the camera booth. They just loved that idea. Yeah,
absolutely. And it's perfect. I loved it. John Cena came out with all those kids in his entrance. I wanted Brock to F5 all of them.
Yeah, you made that very clear immediately.
But for what the hype was of WrestlePalooza, because I feel like they hyped it very well to the point I was like, this is going to be another major event. This is awesome.
Well, it's got Palooza in the name.
Exactly. I'm a big Palooza guy.
You're a huge Palooza. From what I found out over the last couple weeks is you're a big Palooza guy.
Big Palooza guy over here.
Yeah.
But you laid an egg in that opening match, and that set the tone for the night.
Unfortunately, yeah, it did. But for our next match.
Yes.
The Braun Bronze,
mm-hmm.
versus the Usos isn't awful.
It was up and down. Like, there was peaks and valleys in this match. The peaks were really, really good. I liked a lot of, I guess, like the hardcore style stuff. The valleys were not good. There was some lulls in that match where I was like, ugh, come on, guys. This is a pay-per-view. This is a PLE. This isn't Raw in like a commercial break. Let's fucking get going here.
I think that's going to be a common trend when we keep talking about WrestlePalooza is the Raw part of it. Also, we ate the ad breaks during a premium live event. So that's fucking wild, but whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't eat the ad breaks. We just get, we'll return
Well, that's the part that's going to be changed on Netflix. You can give me a video package. Don't give me this. We'll be back in 3 minutes with the same bip bop bip song. Fuck right off.
Yeah, that song's bad.
Anytime anybody in my household hears that, they're like, can you mute the TV? I'm like, yeah, sorry, I'm a little late on that.
Yeah. You're like, yeah, because it's going to go for 3.5 minutes.
Yeah, awful, awful.
Highlights? Obviously the winner. The booking is right there.
I said it in the group chat. I will now say it on the podcast. Having Bronson Reed win the match, get the pin with his finish, in my opinion, was perfect. We all know Bron Breakker's the next big thing.
For sure.
That's how they're pushing it. Bronson Reed needed this, in my opinion. I feel like he's been kind of the lackey that's always getting the Superman punch or the spear or fucking whatever. He needed this victory. He got it. The Tsunami's an awesome finisher. Mm-hmm. It looks great. It sounds great. You need to keep Bronson Reed a monster within the Vision and as a top heel that's working main events on Monday Night Raw. The Usos, it's awesome that they're back. I'm glad they took the loss. I'm glad they ate it. It adds a little bit more tension with the Usos, as we saw on Monday night. It might have got cut out for your 90-second viewing, mm-hmm. but there's definitely tension there with the Usos. And I liked that kind of came into the match a little bit. Sure, they were up firing on all cylinders for the most part, but there were some moments where it was, all right, fucking, what are we doing here? What are we doing here, guys? We're Usos. We're the Bloodline. And that chemistry wasn't completely there. So, and I don't know if it cost them, but they took the loss.
Jey Uso busted himself open.
Fuck.
Doesn't know how to hold onto a chair properly. How about that?
Out of nowhere, too. Like, all of a sudden, Jey Uso is just leaking until we see the replay. And they're like, God damn it, dude. You've been in this business long enough. You know that chair is going to bounce back. Come on.
I mean, I love it.
He was leaking so much.
Tell me about your main event status, you fucking yeah. jumper.
The other best part of that match, and I'm sorry, it's not really wrestling related when it comes to moves or anything, but the angle of Jimmy Uso in the corner that was through the table, and Jimmy falls down, and then the table just kind of folds over him is the funniest fucking thing. If you haven't seen it, go.
We get some joys out of like the non-wrestling moments, yeah, right. For sure.
But this match was what it was. It was a tag team match that I felt I could have got on Raw, and it didn't feel like it was elevated to a pay-per-view level. What do you think?
Well, I do agree that it did feel like a television match, but it was also, I don't know why anyone needed a break after John Cena and Brock Lesnar. I don't think anyone was gassed after watching that thing. But lucky for us, there was real wrestling to be had on WrestlePalooza, and it happened next. It was Stephanie Vaquer and Io Sky.
So this match starts, and the group chat lights up like, this is it. This is the match we're all hyped for and waiting for. And you're right. It didn't disappoint. It's Io Sky and Stephanie Vaquer.
Further goddamn proof that there is women in that locker room that are doing the job better than any man.
Yep. Yep.
And this is more proof to that. This is a hell of a match. Io Sky could just be overall wrestler of the year.
It's trending that way, and it's not even kind of close in some areas.
I just don't think so.
It's
what a talent.
Here's my thing, though, that I hate.
Okay. What do you
and
hate?
It's not her. I hate that the crowd hasn't, like, the second her music hits, the crowd's not on their feet losing their mind. They kind of build that pop throughout her matches with mm-hmm. her moves and her fighting spirit, which is great.
The fighting spirit.
I watch a lot of New Japan.
Yeah, I mean, he's still subscribed.
No comment on that. but it bothers me because as soon as I hear her music, I'm like, fuck yeah, here we go. But those live crowds, it's just not quite there yet. I'm not saying it's going to be real level when, because the place goes fucking nuts when you hear This Is My Brutality. She's a main event over superstar.
Yeah.
Io isn't there. And it's not the wrestling. In my opinion, it's not even the promos. It's maybe the presentation where there's not a hard-hitting beat at the beginning of the music or an awesome way to start her entrance to get people fired up. Because everything else works for me. I don't think it's the promos. I don't think it's her broken English or speaking in Japanese. It's definitely not her work in the ring.
It's definitely not her work in
Let's
the
be honest, Mike. It's fucking Def Rebel's fault.
Let's not give UK Tom.
But that's it. I think there's something
I'll speak for UK Tom in saying that, like, he literally just told us how much he loves Def Rebel. He's taking it all back. He said his Spotify playlist is all of the hot Def Rebel songs. All the ones he has talked about in the past, he's learned to love.
He's been kayfabing you all.
Yeah, he loves Def Rebel.
Yeah.
He has a Def Rebel shirt. Show up for work, you fuck. You know what? I don't know what it is, but I don't think Stephanie Vaquer has that appeal either, and I think they're hoping the championship. By the way, we'll get right to it. Stephanie won. Heartbreaking for my picks.
As a Palooza. I think we all picked
Io. I really did think it was going to be Io.
So did I. But I think I was picking with my heart on this one because...
Shut up.
No, I was, because I hate when wrestlers get rushed right to the world championship. Bothers me. I fucking hate it.
So why do we think that Stephanie got the strap here? Like, what do you think the reasoning is?
I have to Monday morning quarterback it because I saw how things played out on Raw with Io.
Of course, yeah.
So I think that they're going in a direction where it's Rhea and Io versus Asuka and Kairi.
And which then that fucking gets that, A. Dude, you know?
That the Asuka versus Rhea match on Raw should have main evented a pay-per-view. It was fucking awesome. But I think that opens the door for somebody else to come in and challenge Stephanie to give more women an opportunity, whether that's a returning Liv Morgan or Roxanne Perez or Natty or whoever it's going to be. Maybe Becky, maybe whoever it is. So I think they're just
you know what? You're on such a roll there. And then
I know,
said
I'm
Becky,
so sorry.
And I was like, oh,
I'm
God.
So sorry. But I just think they're opening up more opportunities to get more women on the show.
Sure. I'll believe that when I see it.
So that's just what I think. But that's because of I had help of seeing Raw.
Yeah.
But and I think that they're just trying to grab, like, this is a hot new star. She's the next big thing in the women's division on Raw. Let's hotshot her and hope for the best. It rarely works out, in my opinion.
I'm with you because I also think it's kind of bad. Like, TV time is what's going to get you over. Being on the fucking show gets you over. Like, not necessarily having the title. Those days are long gone. Those days are long gone.
I agree. There is an aspect of the championship could make the wrestler.
Like, Cody's woe is going to keep him over, title or not.
Yeah.
Like, don't kid yourself.
No,
like,
absolutely not.
But
it's the perfect presentation.
Consistency of being on television is what helps you. That's when the fans know who you are.
So I agree. So maybe this is a good opportunity for Stephanie to have matches on TV. Maybe she'll have like a bit of an open challenge kind of thing, or just be a fighting champion. The fighting spirit. I mentioned it earlier.
Yeah, you did mention it earlier. Big New Japan guy.
Yeah, exactly.
How could I forget 5 minutes ago?
Maybe it opens it up to her being a fighting champion, defending it more against whoever wants to come and challenge her. But then you've got Io and Rhea and Asuka and Kairi in separate segments doing their own thing, but still... Within that, Rhea and Io going, when we're done with this, I get Stephanie next. No, I get Stephanie next. It builds stories and bridges.
But you always have stories to tell, right? Like,
yeah.
I just wonder, too, I'm like, is it like a global presence by having a Stephanie Vaquer? Because I think if you had Io being champion in that Japan show, like...
Yeah, they are going to Tokyo.
Yeah, like there is these things that I question why. I'm not mad at Stephanie having the title. I just don't get why. Why now?
I'm with you there. They're to me, and I've said it a million times. I think I've already said it on this podcast. When you hotshot somebody, I'm like, cool. I don't have to invest in that. Like when the Motor City Machine Guns won the tag team titles on their first or second night on SmackDown in WWE, they lose them a month later. I'm like, well, I don't have to watch them try to fight to get the one thing that they've been waiting 20 years for. They've already done it. Now what? I haven't heard of the Motor City Machine Guns in months.
It sounds very familiar to another promotion and how they like to do things. It does, doesn't it?
Just go on All Out and say it, Mike. Just All Out.
Yeah, that's right. Like you, the company we were champions for, like the turning point, right? Because it's like clearly we're going through the peaks and valleys, as, yes. as you're one to say here yeah. just moments ago. We were so high on AEW because they were an alternative. They were doing something different. Yeah. But that different wore thin because the excitement wasn't just enough. That style of wrestling just wasn't enough. Then you get stuff like in WWE where they're just like, we're going to cook and we're going to let this bloodline storyline, we're gonna try this long-term storytelling and it's going to mean something. And you're like, sweet, that's gone. That is right out the window.
Yeah.
Well, with AEW, it was too much too fast. And sure. I get that they had to do that to keep their TV audience and keep the diehards, plus try to bring in casual fans or like people that are like, what the fuck is AEW? Oh, it's Chris Jericho versus Dean Ambrose. Cool. Awesome. Oh, they're doing a hardcore match. Awesome. With WWE, where I feel they dropped the ball with what you said is they figured out long-term storytelling really works with the bloodline, but they didn't do it with anybody else that much.
Yeah.
And now that's what I was hyped for, because I've said it in past episodes, you prove to me that I can trust you with a really good story, and I just keep needing to pay attention and keep watching because I'm going to get an awesome payoff. And now we've kind of fallen out of that. Now we just get, oh, Cody won the championship back at SummerSlam. Cool. Survivor Series is in November. He'll be in that too. He'll be at Saturday Night's main event. Not necessarily going to be on SmackDown or Raw each week, though. And I don't like that.
It's, you know what? It wouldn't be as huge of a deal if there was other stories that could take in
yes.
in that space. And it seems like their long-term approach right now is obviously, we'll get to it,
yeah.
is going to be Punk and Seth and, I mean, Becky and AJ are kind of a side to that. They'll probably break off for their own singles match, which I think is in the cards, obviously.
I'd hope so.
But I think Punk and Seth is what they're banking on to be their long-term story, like the bloodline. It feels that way, even though I'm fucking confused because we did think it wrapped up literally on the first Monday Night Raw on Netflix. Really thought that was the fucking payoff of that, but no.
So I'm somewhat in agreement with you, but I'm not.
Okay.
I don't think that this stretches until Mania next year. I think we get a finale this year in 2025 with Punk and Seth for now. I think when it comes to Mania next year in Vegas, we are getting Roman versus Seth.
I think that's a great build match for a WrestleMania. I do. I really do.
The story's there. It's been teased. It's been back and forth for years. Sure, they've had matches and stuff like that, but this incarnation of Roman versus this incarnation of Seth, and I think it wasn't too long after WrestleMania where they had a face-off, or maybe it was even just a look. Or maybe it was like some schmoz after match. I can't remember what it was, but they planted that seed to the point where it was like that. I need to see that match.
I'm more worried that you get to Survivor Series and you have all those guys standing across from one another. You have Punk staring down Seth. You have Roman staring down Brock. That's my worry because it looks better. It looks better for Roman Reigns, the OTC, to be staring at Brock.
Yeah.
Unless they're going to have Cena be the one who's staring down Brock, which if you are, your payoff better be John is going to beat Brock Lesnar at some point in a singles match.
Then that would be his own. Yeah, it'd have to
like
be.
It's weird because like we're looking too far ahead and we're getting away from the incredible women's wrestling that we were talking about.
Yeah, we'll get back to
it. But we will get back to those. But this women's match, going back to EO and Stephanie, is further proof. Like the shit I talk on WWE where it's just like, here's Evolution, then fuck you. How can you keep saying fuck you to these women when they come out and they tear the house down like they did? Just incredible chemistry. Work rate is unbelievable. But then it's kind of like, well, it's done now. Stephanie's got the title.
I agree. Well, I even got pissed off on Raw this week because it was just Stephanie in the ring with Adam Pearce, and he's just congratulating her. And it's we just get a promo.
Was she speaking her first language? Wrestling?
That's right. And I tune into follow-up shows to see where the story goes. If it's a promo segment, cool, whatever. But I felt like this just fell flat. Like, to me, I'm just like, come on, give me something more. She spoke well in English. She spoke well in Spanish, I believe it was. And it was great. Her dad was there. At some point, I'm thinking her dad's probably going to get beat up and taken out because they keep showing him on TV. He walked into the building with her and all that stuff.
The third shirt of Tito Santana to come in.
But I'm 100% with you. I don't think there's anybody that would be against you on this. The women have proved more than enough that they could carry half the show and the men can carry half the show.
Evolution is the best WWE pay-per-view of the year.
It is.
It's hands down the best wrestling show they put on in 2025.
Well, fucking even NXT proves it every week. NXT is, for the most part, usually dominated by women's matches and women's stories.
It's because they have the better crop of talent in between them and the men right now. I truly believe that.
Oh, they 100% do.
Yeah.
And like the fact that the main roster isn't mirroring that on both shows, Raw and SmackDown, is wild to me. It just is. I feel like it's really odd that we've kind of fallen back into like, the women get one, maybe two segments, and then that's it. Because that's how it used to be back in the Attitude Era.
For sure.
You know, and it's just like, come on, like, let's go on. But these women proved it. I'll even throw into on Raw, Rhea and Asuka more than proved it with that match as well.
You give them the fucking time, and you set up the matches for success. Let's get real. There is some talent back there where you're like, well, they're going to have a good match.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I hate so much that this comes up on the pod as much as it does.
I agree.
But they have yet to prove me wrong in how they booked this shit.
I know. I was just going to say, I hate the fact that I'm feeling the way I did after Evolution. Because now I'm super hopeful and now I'm pumped. I'm like, and I can't wait to see what happens. I'm very invested in this Asuka, Kairi, EO, Rhea story, and I'm very invested to see who's going to step up to Stephanie, because we haven't seen a lot of her on the main roster. I didn't see a lot of her on the Indies and New Japan. She made a quick appearance in AEW as well. I saw her in NXT. She's had killer matches. Cool. I'm watching an awesome wrestler who has a great look, has a great character, and can fucking crush it. Proved it on WrestlePalooza, one of the biggest Palooza pay-per-views of all time.
The only Palooza event going.
I want to see what happens next. Don't keep her off TV and out of the ring for the next 3 weeks. Don't fucking do it.
Scott, what did I say on our recap show of Evolution? And I've said it every week since. Hope you guys had fun. But fuck off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, how could you not learn this? It was so loud. No social following was just like, this was bad. Everyone loved it.
Everybody loved it. Yeah.
And I'm just saying, too, I'm like, at this point, you can balance it out, because if what you're going to give me to open the show is John Cena versus Brock Lesnar style matches, no fucking thanks.
Yeah.
Like, no thanks. And it's, this hurts the most because where this match is, there's more fucking show. And guess what? Nothing else lived up to what we saw in that match.
Nothing.
I can tell you for sure, because next up we got everyone's favorite couples. Yeah. The world's favorites couple. We got CM Punk and AJ Lee versus Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins. Whew. Did not like this.
So
did not like this.
I'm with Mike that I didn't like it. I didn't hate it. I didn't.
You, I think, have had the best take about this match.
It's a house show match.
Which is fucking wild when you're using this to sell ESPN subscriptions.
To me, it was a house show match where they're out there having fun. They're doing their shticks. They're doing the whole, I want you. I want to face you first. And then they tag in, then the heels tag out. And they do that for fucking 10 minutes. And then they run around the ring. And they do the house show stuff that we've seen at house shows 100 times over, where it's just like, oh, this is fun. The kids are having a blast. The parents that are bringing their kids that don't really watch it, this is fun and cute. That's what we got. And I hate being this kind of fan, but I am.
This is the whole point of having a fucking podcast.
I know. Okay.
If you want to say it's like, you guys are so negative.
No.
You fucking write them negative. You don't watch that match and be like, let me get all the fucking sunshine and rainbows out of that. There wasn't much of that.
I'm not going to say this, and it's not the whole match. It's not every move in the match. It's not every sequence in the match. There's portions of this match where the physicality was soft as fuck.
Oh, a lot of this match was soft as fuck.
And when you've got the return of AJ Lee after 10 years, I will give a hint of grace. But there's three other people that have been wrestling for the last few years or fucking Scott, for 20 years straight.
I love you. This company has a fucking performance center. The very same one they would send Logan Paul to work the paces of matches. I got no problem with you going ahead and going through the match at the PC. I have no fucking issue with that. I don't care. Go script the whole goddamn thing there. It will make for better television when it comes time, because this was messy. This was, and just the idea that people are like, but AJ's back. She was awful. It showed that she was away for 10 fucking years. You can't sit there and be like, she still got it. I did not think that once.
I didn't think.
And I like AJ Lee.
Yeah, I do too. I'm a fan of AJ Lee. This wasn't a wrestling match for AJ Lee though. This was a mixed tag where there's kind of, it's basically Young Bucks rules, let's be honest, where everyone's in the ring at the same time for a good chunks of time, sometimes 5 to 10 minutes at a time. This was, I think, like a half an hour with entrances. It was
far too long.
There was too much of it that was soft. And
oh, man, this match.
It didn't come close to living up to the hype, in my opinion. It brought the show back down after the women just brought it way up. Way up.
You got a piss break.
Yeah.
Like, the stars in this match. This match became the piss break.
It was a house show match. It was...
It's so unfortunate. Because it still makes me think that returns like this after such a lengthy amount of time, you proved it with Brock at the beginning of the show, and now AJ's in this match. They're just not firing on all cylinders. And sure, you could say it's like, well, Brock was facing John Cena. They're both in this parts of their career. Fuck you. You both signed up to go to work. You laced your boots just the same. Yeah. You should probably go to work.
Yeah, there's a standard. There's a bar.
And for me, this, like, going back to where, like, the storytelling of where we're at, especially with Punk and Seth, fucking did no favors for that.
No.
How do you book Punk and AJ to win this? Like, not only did I not like this match, but they fucking let CM Punk and AJ win solely because AJ's back. I think that is awful. I really, really think the heel should have fucking won here.
So, quick side note, Mike picked Beck. Well, Becky and Seth to win this match. But
even outside of that.
We talked about it last week on this very show, because this is the only show we have.
Yeah.
We talked about this.
It's the only show worth listening to.
The heels should have won.
Yes.
They should have won. It doesn't hurt AJ or Punk in the slightest
at all
if they were to lose this match. But
was it for the Palooza namesake? Like, I just can someone give
Palooza
me
if they lose. Yeah,
can someone just help me understand why this win was the thing that needed to happen?
I throw it back to Vince's old saying, we're here to put smiles on people's faces. And Mike, this is a guess, but it wouldn't surprise me one bit if the night after AJ returned on SmackDown, when the creative people and Hunter and all the people are sitting down for their next meeting, they got the reports. They said, hey, how was the female demographic after SmackDown? Did it pop? And they go, yes, it did. Because did you hear the high-pitched cheers for AJ
sure.
when she came out?
Scott,
very high-pitched.
They still would have been there, man. <I know. laughs> AJ Lee's not going anywhere. That musical hit, that reaction will be the same. You know why? How was it after that return? Like every return this company ever does. Tell me I'm wrong.
I mean, there's not a lot of returns where the person comes back and loses.
I
right
feel
now.
Like they're coming more often, and I hate it. I hate it. It. You watch these two women go at it. Granted, everyone in the pod or our listeners of this very pod know we hate Becky Lynch.
Yes.
we are not nice about it. I think Becky Lynch is not great in ring. You know what, Becky? Good for you. You've done it. You have duped a generation of people.
Yeah. You sure
there
are.
Was a time I think Becky Lynch was very talented.
Yeah,
but that talent pool has gotten bigger and actually just more talented.
Yep, absolutely. WrestleMania 32, she was... It's one of my favorite women's matches of all time.
Absolutely.
She was very good. She hasn't progressed, in my opinion, since. I think she's quite regressed, even before she went away and had a baby. I think she's been... She's I don't know, flatline, stalemated, whatever you want to call it. I can't think of the word right now, but she's reached her her peak, and that's it. That's the height that she's going to go with when it comes to her character, her in-ring work, because now she's just a caricature. She is a cartoon. And
but, you know, you get to a point, and this is like the MO of WWE, right? Like Cody, I think of the same way, not in terms of like talent, right? Like, I'll shit on Cody all day, but like, he can still go if he needs to go in ring. Like, I know that. I'll never admit that openly all the time. But for this argument, Becky has now been like, I've been here, I've done it, I deserve this. I deserve to now coast. And my name alone should do it. I think Charlotte is kind of in that spot too.
I agree.
Where it's just like, why do I have to put my foot on the gas? I've put my foot on the gas. I can now go into cruise control, earn my money, and work as safe as any of those guys who did it before me. Well, and get that paper. I'm all for it. But when I'm the viewing audience now and I know who's in the back, not fucking working, it kills me.
I agree.
It kills me on these shows. And yes, you know why this match happened. Of course it's going to happen. It's great looking on a poster. The internet will love it. But everyone, come on. Agree with me this once. That this wasn't good. This isn't good enough to be on a show with Palooza. Yeah. In the name.
There's no Palooza in this match. And I'm going to double down on this. And I'm going to... When that match is done, we all talked about it on the group chat. We talked about this didn't live up to the hype. It wasn't good. It was soft. It wasn't good. In my mind, and I don't think I put this out there in the group chat, I was like, I'm going to see what the follow-up is on Raw and just see what it is. Guess who wasn't on Raw at all? CM Punk and AJ Lee were nowhere to be found.
No.
We didn't get any type of like pre-taped video of them, nothing. We got a video package of the match, and that was it. Seth and Becky have moved on. Seth's moved on to Cody. And Becky is trying to find a way to help Seth or something like that. Whatever the fuck she's doing. I don't pay attention when she talks. Fuck her. There's no Punk, no AJ on Raw. What? I mean, what are you doing? You're blowing it. You're absolutely fucking blowing it right now. But the match is soft. Soft as fuck. It was a house show match. Should have never been on anything that involves a Palooza. And I hope it never is on anything that involves a Palooza ever again.
Yeah. I hope there's never a Palooza ever again.
Before we get to the main event, did we miss this one part when The Undertaker came out?
It's right before the main event.
Okay.
That happens right before the main event.
Okay, well, let's get into that real quick. Let's get into that real quick, Mike. After another 5-minute commercial break, and then follow that up with like 3 minutes
of
video packages.
Could you edit in the Netflix audio song right here, like the break song, just so people know, after you got this...
I'll try.
And we're back. No, that's a hard grab. I'll try. But everyone, I think, knows what we're talking about.
We hear the gong. The gong hits.
Which means less than ever to me.
Yeah, lights go out. Yeah. The lights go out, and the crowd didn't pop. The crowd seemed very confused.
Yeah.
And then...
The American Badass is there.
Exactly. The highly recognizable Kid Rock's voice rocks the Indianapolis Dome or wherever the fuck they're
at. Blew the Palooza right out of that place.
Yeah. Undertaker comes out on his motorcycle and which randomly.
Can we talk before? Like, Undertaker's gig is so goddamn sweet. If there's a guy who's earned to just rip around on his chopper to come say a few words, it's that guy. It's like, him. I'm not mad that happened, but like, God damn.
So he takes a lap around the ring, but the camera keeps catching Stephanie McMahon just appearing in the crowd like a spooky ghost. Just Stephanie's there and she's clapping harder than she's ever clapped
and
before.
We're all thinking like Tombstoner.
Yeah, right. And so whatever, so take her part. We all saw that. Why am I explaining this? Everyone that's listening to this fucking show.
Yeah, if you were looking for us to give you the full play-by-play on a Wednesday of a show that happened on Saturday, Jesus Christ.
Sorry about that. We all know what happened. Taker stops, hops the barrier, sits down with Steph. He announces that they're going to be inducting Stephanie into the Hall of Fame next year. And she cries. She's got tears coming down off of her face, onto her chest. Tears everywhere. It was a nice surprise. Nice surprise because last year they tricked Triple H to get him inducted. They tricked announcing it to him. So now they've done that to Stephanie.
And now setting a precedent for all of these moving forward.
Yeah, anybody that's a McMahon, they're not going to find out. It's going to be in a weird
a weird way of
being. Vince will find out in the courtroom.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Mr. McMahon, if you can approach the bench, please.
But it's JBL.
It's huge.
It's pop. JBL and Big E.
Yeah, and Big E. Yeah.
But a nice little moment for Stephanie. She's going in, and there's no denying when she was a heel character, she was very good at her job.
I'm not going to sit and argue the point that Stephanie McMahon doesn't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame.
My favorite thing on the internet right now is they've released a T-shirt of Stephanie McMahon Hall of Fame. And on the back, it's got like her accolades. Like, she was a women's champion. She was general manager of SmackDown. Also host of like various podcasts. And people like, you can't put a podcast host on a Hall of Fame T-shirt.
You know what?
What the fuck are you
I doing? Hope if we get inducted to the Hall of Fame, the In My House Pro Wrestling podcast is the only thing on the back of the T-shirt.
I don't know. I've got some pretty other
You have big claims zero accolades.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did anyone else invent the Scotty Villa special? Did anyone else think of putting Burger King's chicken fries on a Burger King double cheeseburger?
This is going to be like UK Tom wants two juices and a shaky thing on the shirt. Like, what are we doing?
Oh, man.
Prince Albert refused to take a photo with me. I mean, we're talking accolades we have. Tyler Breeze hugged me.
That's true.
If anything, I put myself on him. Like, I forced that.
CM Punk pointed at me.
Yeah,
I could do that too. I could do that.
Scotty doesn't even love Pepsi.
I was a Pepsi kid growing up. Oh. We never had Coca-Cola in our house. It was always Pepsi.
Loser.
And you were a Coke house.
Yeah, big time.
Coca-Cola house.
You know what? Now to get back to my parents, just buying Pepsi.
Really?
Oh, it's travesty. So now you guys are getting into the Monday Night Mike lore. Coca-Cola house always stocked to the brim. Always Coca-Cola. Now they're going to the store, they're buying Pepsi. Now, in the summertime, my parents have a pool. That's right. I'm one of those kids.
Sorry, poor people.
Yeah. Fuck you, poors.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Yeah. My uncle enjoys Pepsi. And my brother-in-law, also a Pepsi drinker. He's a Pepsi Max guy. He's like UK Tom.
All right.
They're Pepsi Max guys. Yeah. Nonetheless, they're buying Pepsi. And I always am vocal about this, mm-hmm. You know, so hard done by. My parents have a pool. I go, I'm like, what the fuck is this? Well, it was Pepsi. I'm like, well, I understand that's Pepsi. I could see. But why Pepsi? And they're just like, well, and then my dad, he's smart. He's like, it's on sale. He handles it. He's like, well, Pepsi's on sale. Pepsi is trash. In comparison.
It's not. I'm a big Pepsi Coke
Which is
guy.
Wild. 7-Up or Sprite. This pod's going to get fun. Like, this is why we always should do this in person.
This pod's getting, it's getting close to
Yeah, congratulations, Stephanie McMahon, but there's bigger things at hand here, as if Scotty Veal likes 7-Up or Sprite more. Answer the question.
Well,
tell the people what's better.
All right, in current day, Sprite.
This is only what, I don't care what you were drinking at 6 years old. There's products you were drinking
you
at 6 years old.
You were just saying I grew up drinking Coca-Cola, so we can't.
In a house that still actively bought Coca-Cola until this goddamn recent thing of just like, we're bringing in Pepsi.
Sounds like you got Pepsi now.
I was an adult man, the same age drinking Coca-Cola there. This didn't happen over 20 years ago.
If 7-Up hadn't changed the recipe, it'd be 7-Up all day long. I fucking love 7-Up.
I have not seen you drink 7-Up once in life.
Because it's gross now. So, I'm a Sprite.
You're a Sprite guy. I know you're a Sprite guy.
Yeah, I know.
Right? I knew the answer before you even said it. I could have answered for you.
But if I had to choose a dark pop, it's Pepsi all day.
You're never choosing a dark pop.
I don't because the I get migraines from the caramel.
Just an absolute pussy. Just unbelievable.
But I love, we were a Pepsi family. I'm not saying, I will never say Coke
and listen,
is gross.
I love your mother. Yep. It's no secret.
Yeah.
She just a wonderful woman.
Yep.
Does this hurt my view of her? Not as much as you'd think, but like a little bit.
Well, you know what? All the heat can go on my dad. My mom's not a big soda pop.
Well,
character.
Then that makes me feel better. that makes me feel so much better.
My dad, it was always, dad would come home. My dad's a truck driver. So when he came home like one weekend a month, us kids, me being the fat one, I was like, where are those bottles of pop, dad? And he'd have like a couple half drank 2 liters of Pepsi. most of these, usually they were flat, and I'd just go to town and I'd fucking crush them before my brothers would get to them, and then my dad would get real mad. I gotta go buy more Pepsi. It was just always Pepsi. It was never Coca-Cola.
Yeah, yeah, that's wild.
Never Coca-Cola. But every now and then I would, like when I was a older kid, I guess, and mom would give me $5, go to the store. Every now and then I'd switch it up and get a Coke. It'd only last for like that Coke, and then I'd right back to Pepsi.
Right back, okay. But you did it, experiment.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. When it came to soda pops and snacks, my physical form will show you that I've experimented quite a bit. So,
hashtag stay rad.
Hashtag stay rad. Yeah. Listeners, be ready because this conversation may come back sooner than you think.
Yeah, but I mean, congratulations, Stephanie. It's not a shock that Stephanie McMahon of the McMahon family is going to go in.
I think the only shock is that the announcement's coming now, when usually announcements come in like February or March.
But it's a palooza, man. Tell me why it happened here. It's a palooza. You need a big special event at WrestlePalooza.
It's, yeah, it's a palooza, baby. But
it's a palooza, baby.
So let's get to our main event.
Yeah, let's hear you talk about this main event. You know what? I came in a little negative about this main event. I don't hate this main event. I don't at all. You know why? Because it makes me look and be like, man, Cody Rhodes, yeah, face the company. He's going to be for a while. I've come to terms. The shit talk I will have no matter what will be there. He is the face of the company.
Yeah.
Man, how about Drew McIntyre? Drew McIntyre should be a mega fucking star.
He should be a champion 10 times over. He should be. I'm with you. This match was good. And even though UK Tom's not on the podcast last week or this week, thanks for showing up.
Yeah, appreciate it.
He has said that he hated the fact that this match is even happening because, one, he knew Cody wasn't going to lose.
Of course.
And it's just Drew taking another loss. And I agree with him. Drew McIntyre has already done the jobs. He and they said it on TV. Drew McIntyre led that company through COVID. He was the face of WWE. He was the champion throughout COVID.
Yes.
He did a great job. And then as soon as the crowd comes back, it's all about Roman, which I get. I'm not saying that that's the wrong decision. But Drew basically got pushed to the side, which in essence breeded this heel character that we fucking love now.
Just love. Arguably the best work he's done.
But outside of him winning the world championship at WrestleMania 40 for 5 minutes before the cash-in happens,
which also got into a great fucking program.
Yeah.
Like, him losing there doesn't hurt the Drew McIntyre of now, because he was firing on all cylinders, mostly social media.
Yeah.
With that Punk stuff. And it led to an incredible Hell in a Cell. Like, an incredible match.
Oh, yeah, that's right, too.
Like, that led to, like, awesome things. And then I even liked him and Logan as a team.
Yeah.
Like, I was just like, this could be something. I'm happy it's not now because I'm like, Drew McIntyre needs to be a goddamn star.
Yep.
And unfortunately, that means he has to have a belt. Like, at this point, he's a guy now where you're like, we should probably put a belt on this guy.
He's a top heel. That's not part-time. He's there every fucking week, being the top heel, being a shit disturber, but also the guy that could make a babyface back down. Drew can cower too. He can be a chicken shit heel at times too. But Drew has done everything with his look, his stature, his matches, his mic work, that he can be that top heel that people should be chasing for the champion. He should be a champion for a fucking year and a half before he drops that title.
He's truly like the mountain heel, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's a battle to beat Drew. And he doesn't, like, he's going to whoop your ass.
Yeah.
Like, he could be booked like Brock.
I completely agree. But here's the thing.
But he's too busy losing to Cody at WrestlePalooza.
Brock has a sword just tattooed on his chest.
That's right, yeah.
Drew carries a sword but can't really use it.
Could actually cut someone with it.
Exactly, yeah. Which is too dangerous, so we can't give him the title.
Yeah.
Too dangerous. If you want,
tattoo that on yourself, Drew. And you know what? Maybe that's what you need. Big cock sword on you.
But I agree.
How stoked are you that Cody was back and got that victory?
Look,
was the adrenaline?
Was there so much adrenaline in not just my soul,
yeah,
every part of my body. I had to put a towel over me.
I bet.
I was happy to have Cody back. I hated the fact that he had to leave for like 5 weeks to go shoot a movie. I get it. That's the world we're in now where these big stars are in wrestling are getting movie roles and have to disappear. I hate the fact that he was a champion when it happened. It really bugs me. Comes back, has a really good match, but I thought the finish was lame. I thought it was lackluster.
Sure.
I think if you're going to beat Drew, and sure, you can have him beat it clean, but I also thought that there was aspects of this match that were soft as fuck.
Yeah, unfortunately, like when we look at, I think we should know now too, we are so lenient on the Fed because it is the Fed style, yeah, right?
Agreed.
Like we don't get as much wildness as like you watch an AEW where you're like, that guy is probably hurt.
Yes.
You know, like they're laying it in a way that is to their brand because that's what they have.
Yeah.
WWE is just like, these are stars. They're cartoon characters.
Yep.
So it's like, I didn't hate this match. The no build, obviously.
Heard it.
I mean, yeah, it's Cody though. The Palooza fans seem to love it.
Look, for I think probably you, maybe a handful of others probably don't know this.
Okay.
But for the second year in a row, Cody has been ranked number one PWI's top 500 wrestlers.
Of course I didn't know that.
Number one. He's only one of four men to ever be back-to-back number one ranked pro wrestler in the world.
Who's that number two?
You want to know who's number two?
I do.
It's fucking awful. Jon Moxley.
Jon Moxley, number two.
He's the number two wrestler in the world. Huh.
Who was the top five? Do you remember? Get that top five up.
I got that top five up. Because
listen,
one second.
We could sit here and ramble on about another Cody match, which this was. The thing we want to get across is that Drew McIntyre deserves to be a goddamn star in this company. Oh, you got the list?
You want the top 10?
You know what? Give me the top 10.
Okay, so here's
Let's do this first. Before you give me the top 10,
okay,
we're going to close out WrestlePalooza.
Yeah.
Because we've gotten sidetracked over sodas. It's just, when we're in person, we ramble, which is fine.
Which is great.
We're not an airtight. It's another long episode for people. They should be so grateful.
Megasode.
Yeah, fuck you. Thanks for listening. I think WrestlePalooza is a bad way to get people onto ESPN. Go ahead in the comments, as always, tell me why I'm wrong. Or am I just stupid thinking that this should have been more than what it was? Like, should I now realize where it's like, do I start calling everything that is not SummerSlam, WrestleMania, Survivor Series a proper B show? And I have to let it go because that's what they have to be.
Yeah,
I don't think it is because you only do 12 of these.
Yeah, 12 to 13.
Yeah, so these are obviously special shows.
And one of you guys might have said it in the group chat. It might have been UK Tom.
Who?
He used to work here.
Oh, okay.
Hoping he shows up next week or it's going to be a meeting.
Yeah.
This felt like a Saturday night's main event. It felt, with the amount of commercial breaks.
Yeah.
And then video packages.
That was UK Tom.
Sure, we got lengthy matches and the women stole the show with a lengthy match. I think their match was about 20 minutes. Awesome. Great. And on Saturday night main events, we're basically getting very old school matches where you have the match, one finisher, and it's done and out. Quick TV matches. Yeah, we could be in this era where you're right. The big four matter. Rumble, Mania, SummerSlam.
Then do more to drive stories to those events.
Like two of the four main events are two nights now.
Yeah.
You know? So there are stories there. Some of them aren't well thought out and they have to be a little bit rushed. But they just be like, well, we're just going to fill it. We got to fill two nights. Rumble, I'm sure, is going to eventually go two nights eventually. It's the only one that makes sense to go two nights because
two Rumble matches.
Yeah. You know? But yeah, the Palooza was... Actually, ESPN spoiled my rating for it. It's a C. And the only reason it's a C and a passing grade is because of the women's match. Yeah. If that match...
I mean, this thing is... Yeah, it's a 5 out of 10.
Yeah.
Because of that women's match.
Yep. If this match didn't deliver like it did, I would be giving it a failing grade. I would be getting a D or a D+. And that's it. Look, it's really hard for me to say I'm going to give it the D when Cody's on the card.
Yeah, well.
Because...
Maybe that just shows, too. Because, like, again, like both Cody and Drew aren't terrible. Like that match isn't terrible.
It's a good match. It's a good match.
Just like you could have accomplished that on one of your weekly TV shows, which I don't watch.
That's true. And look, massive Cody fan here. If you weren't following the In My House Pod Twitter account, because I was kind of live tweeting a little bit, specifically during this match, there were three Cody cutters. One of them was a super cutter. I popped for each one. I stood up each time. My towel fell off. That's right. My towel fell off popping each time to a Cody cutter.
Oh, yeah, popping. All
right. That's right. I wish I had Santos Escobar's number. I would have just been like, look, motherfucker, that's how you take it. But this was not it was a fine match. I didn't like the ending. I just didn't like the way the ending was planned out. I just didn't think that was enough to beat Drew, because I have Drew on this high pedestal. Look at the fuck guy. He's his own beast. But WrestlePalooza is in the books. I think you just could have just called the show Wrestle. There's no Palooza involved. Yeah,
WWE presents Wrestle.
The fact that ESPN gave it a C as well and put that on their website, and this is the first event on ESPN, is wild to me. I also love it. They're not going to fucking kiss their ass just because they're in this deal for pay-per-views.
Everyone's on the internet too much. You can't do that anymore. You can't be in the pocket and then noticeably be so. Yeah. They'd be like, WrestlePalooza was an A. They're like, fuck you. Your comment section would explode.
Exactly.
So save yourself that grief, right? Like, come at it with a real angle. It doesn't matter. Like, people who are going to watch this programming only have that place to go in the United States. So you're fine.
Yeah.
To say it was a C. WWE brass is going to be like, guys, I saw that was a C. Vince would do shit like that.
Yeah.
The internet's too big a part of everything now where you can't.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Agreed.
WrestlePalooza, far from a palooza, in my opinion. This show, much more of a palooza. Tell all your friends. And here we go. Scotty V has got the PWI top 10, because I don't need to hear, what is it, 500 guys?
It's 500 guys.
I don't
know. Who, by the way, quick, massive shout out.
Oh, God.
Give me 1 second. Massive shout out. Michael Allen Richard Clark, who we've seen wrestle here in Saskatchewan many times at Reaper Wrestling, Ringside Wrestling, CWE. We've seen Michael Allen Richard Clark work a ton in our area, and he made the list. He even got his picture in there, which is great. 340, which is, in my opinion, fucking awesome. He's not like, you know, sitting in the upper 400s and stuff like that. He's 340.
He does not care for me. But that sentiment is shared.
But huge props and huge congrats.
Yeah, of course. You love
to
see
that is
someone do great like that.
I love that. But he didn't make the top 10. Always next year, pal. Maybe had a few more push-ups. I don't know.
I mean,
top 10. Here's 10. I'm going to go 10 through 1.
Yeah, of course.
Number 10 is Will Ospreay.
Okay.
Number 9 is Mystico. Settle down. I know you're getting worked up. Number 8 is Seth Rollins.
Okay.
7 is Swerve Strickland. I'm going to ask you to just...
I love that.
Yeah. Swerve had a great year.
A hell of a talent.
Number 6 is main event Jey Uso.
There, what? What? Oh. All right, keep going. This is not worth me making this pod any longer. But...
number 5, Hirooki Goto.
Okay.
New Japan champion for quite a while. He beat up Zack Sabre Jr. quite a bit. Number 4, Hangman Adam Page.
Yeah.
Number 3, Gunther.
I love that.
2, John Moxley. 1, the American Nightmare, the WWE champion, Cody Rhodes, star of Street Fighter, the movie. There's your top 10. I am baffled that Jey Uso's in there.
Me too.
I'm baffled that Will Ospreay is at 10 when in my opinion, he probably should have been in the top 5 easily, if not top 3. I know he didn't get any world championships, but him and Swerve had probably the best matches from this year this time last year compared to now. Insane, like insane matches. Man. So
Hangman, I think makes sense. I'm happy with Hangman.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially because a lot of his stuff in the last year or so was storytelling, not necessarily leading to big matches.
Yeah.
He had big matches, and then he wasn't on TV every week working unless it was him burning down Swerve's house and then apologizing about it later.
I didn't mean it. Like, burnt down my house.
That's one of my favorite AEW stories is Swerve versus Hangman.
Yep.
Even back to like the where they get on a respect level because great, great work. But Jey Uso being in there.
Where those votes came from.
I like that they experimented. They're going to go, you know what? We're going to push Jey as a singles guy. We're going to have him win. We saw it on WWE Unreal on Netflix. We're going to strap the rocket to you, Jey. You're winning the Rumble. You're going on to main event WrestleMania, which they did. They're going on to fight Gunther for the world title at WrestleMania. It didn't work.
No.
And the work wasn't very good.
And I'll tell you, I love, and I told you so. I fucking live for it.
Yep.
Never was on board. Haven't been the whole time. Knew this was going to be the outcome. Bring those Usos back together proper. Get them back in the old gear. Let's go.
That's baffling to me. If you want to put them in like maybe the top 20, and this is just men, by the way. I don't believe women are involved in this top 500.
Yeah, they also get burned, hey? Yeah. Much like a WWE show.
they get their own list, but I think it's like the top 150 or 200 for the women. I'm baffled that Jay's in the top 10 at 6. He almost made top 5. Is it based on hype alone for the most part? Or TV time? TV time must be a huge part of their decision making. Because he's on TV every week. Every week.
Why not? The Yeet is a movement.
The entrance. There's not a lot of wrestlers where the chants are fanning or fans are chanting, do the entrance again. And then they do it again where they restart it. You don't like it. I don't mind. It's fine for me. I like it. Crowd's having fun. Kids are yeeting all over the place. It's a great time. They're having fun. Day one-ish.
Nonsense.
Oos?
Yeah, just not.
Oos?
Also, the Usos calling everybody Oos? Always confusing to me. To this day. It's like, you feel me, Oos? And I'm like, you can't just say that to him.
I'm curious about some names like Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, AJ Styles, Drew McIntyre. Drew didn't make the top 10. Roman's not in the top 10. So
quiet year for Roman.
Yeah. In a way, every year now is since COVID, right?
Good for him.
Which I'm not. I will never complain about Roman being part-time. I won't. Because when he's on my TV, it works. It makes sense. It works. Does it suck that he has these great stories and great feuds and then he's gone for a couple months? For my viewing and entertainment, yes. But I know it's for his health because he's not 100% healthy. He's still battling leukemia and he will for the rest of his life. And they're taking care of him, which is fine. He's still a massive
face. He put his time in to earn that.
Agreed.
I think Cody going to shoot that movie. I'm like, a little soon, bud. A little soon.
And that's what Roman's doing right now. He's one of the Street Fighters.
Yeah.
I don't know which
he's
one.
He's Akuma.
Oh, really?
Goddamn right.
Actually, one of the names that I, Hiroki Goto,
yeah,
is E Honda.
Love that.
In Street Fighter.
It's really coming down to that box office battle, so.
Yeah, if this thing's like a Borderlands craziness type movie, it's not going to go well.
I mean, I don't see how it can't be. Street Fighter is fucking wild.
I know.
50 Cent is Balrog. Or not Balrog.
No, he's...
what's the name?
Come on now, you're blowing it.
I am blowing it.
You're the gamer
guy
here.
That's my thing. Oh, my God.
Oh, man. I'll talk because Mike is embarrassed
right now.
Edit it
in for me so I don't look like such a scrub.
I'm actually not going to on this one. Hey, a quick question.
It is Balrog. I was right. Get the fuck out of here.
Can I name this episode?
Absolutely. You know what? Yeah, you can.
Okay. I want it to be called Thank You, Brock.
I immediately regret. Immediately regret letting you name the episode. Why?
I as much as I thought that match was dog shit and I didn't want that
I feel
match
this
at
is
all.
A bad look for us. I do not endorse this episode's name.
You're gonna kill me in the fun fact anyway, so what the fuck does it matter?
Well, maybe UK Tom's still getting killed.
It's not going to happen. Not,
I assume UK Tom gave this podcast 7 out of 10 because it's wrestling.
He liked it.
And he likes wrestling.
He liked it.
Yeah.
I was still happy that Brock won.
You're just happy Brock came out.
I was.
Of Gorilla, and you're like, there he is. You're like, yeah, Scott, there he is.
Yeah.
There is the same Brock Lesnar.
We got the same Brock Lesnar.
And somehow, this grown man, Pepsi guy, loved Brock Lesnar's performance.
I'm a Brock guy.
Thank you, Brock. Yeah.
Have you put any thought into the title yet? Because I've been thinking
it was going to be Palooza related. You may as well have said it should be Brockapalooza. Even then, that's not great. But something Palooza related.
I'm not going to lie. I didn't think of anything Palooza related, but that is a really good point. So, listeners, you'll already know what the title is because you clicked on it to play this podcast. But I might revoke my thank you, Brock.
Which is fun for the listening audience where they got to this part of the pod to be like, well, we know what it is already. I clicked on. Maybe some people aren't even reading them.
That would be interesting if let us know on the socials.
I feel like we get a lot of traction when Toyota Tom shows up to work.
Yeah.
And he gives us some clips where it's just like, well, that's the title of the episode.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I bet people are listening because of those episodes where we quite literally use something from the episode as the title.
That's true.
Sometimes we don't. Sometimes Scotty, when I'm away from work and it's the end of the fucking world and I'm getting buried on the goddamn show, he names the episodes. And sorry, guys, he also forgets to put in the tags for the episodes. It's a click box. It's in there. It's just the only three options you could pick is wrestling, entertainment, and comedy. It's the only three things you actually can check because we've already preset those. He also doesn't put the explicit content on there. That never gets checked. He also struggles with how I number the episodes for how they list, but it's okay. He does his best because he is the producer extraordinaire. He can't have it all. Once he gets the episode recorded, he's in the lab. He's doing all the edits he hates to fucking do. But go ahead and get it up on the internet for you guys. It is a disaster.
First of all, fuck you for exposing all that.
Okay.
Second of all, I will admit, yeah, I need a bit of a tutorial. Maybe a one-on-one tutorial.
Just look at the whole page. Just look at the whole website page. What do you mean tutorial? Anyone. I wish I could just be a video podcast so I could show everyone what RSS.com is. That's right. It's a very popular podcast hosting. It is insane to me. It does this. Insert audio file, which he gets. He absolutely nails it because he's carving together these incredible episodes for you. He's putting his blood, sweat, and tears into editing and throwing up the pod. So that's the first thing you do. There's a box there. It says insert audio. To the right of that, in another big square, it's where you insert the photo, which also, got to give more credit to Scotty Villa. Give him his flowers time before I cut him down a little bit.
Thank you.
He creates these incredible images for our podcast. It's no longer just the In My House logo, which is also great. Scotty Villa put in that work to get our images.
I'm opening up Canva every week.
Yeah, and you know what? He gets it in there. He even knows to slide the slider to make sure the image fits in the entire box.
Yeah.
He's got that part down. After that is where you put the episode title.
After that is where it starts going downhill. And then he gets the episode title in.
Not always the best, but he's getting one in there. Then he's getting the write-up in. Not a bad guy for the write-up. Scotty V is pretty good at the write-up. After that is where things get tricky. Because that's about where he stops looking at. I don't know if it's his laptop. Kids are on the internet. I don't know what happens. But this is where we've had some backstage segments, some interviews in the pod. So the numbering is different.
Yeah, that's true.
Our episode count for the RSS feed is always one higher. So if it's episode 136, for the listing, it's going to be episode 137.
Yes.
Because of these other shows.
Okay.
He'll forget all of this. He'll never listen back to this tutorial. I'm glad all of you, the listeners, are listening. You've got to find this so engaging. So you get that in. Then you're thinking, that's got to be it. Dead wrong. There's still more website there. That is where you put in the tags For those who aren't the faithful, thank you to all the faithful listeners. You put in stuff that there's three things. They've already been preset because they preset them when we got the RSS.
Then they should already be connected to. Listen,
you click on the box and there's three options. Entertainment, comedy, wrestling. Click, click, click. Then they're up there. And the last one, this one's crucial, especially for those who are thinking like, I've got kids. They like wrestling. Well, we didn't tell you that the episode was explicit. Spoiler alert. They're always explicit.
Yeah, that's
if they ever caught a Toyota Tom episode and we get an angry mother contacting the pod, the, you guys had some words. That one guy from the UK was just cutting families apart. And my son listened to that. He is saying cunt all the time now. I don't want that on my head. And that would go right to me. They're like, hey, we'll have to talk to our guy who puts up the episodes. That's my bad. That's me.
Yeah.
That's me. Not only being everyone's favorite host on the In My House Pro Wrestling podcast. I'm the guy who makes it so it gets to your ears. But I can't do that without Scotty Villa. Or UK Tom, as much as he's not here. It really is a collaborative effort.
Oh, look at how you baby-faced right at the
you
end.
You know what? You got to turn it around every God time. Still, damn. Fuck you, Tom. Way to show up for work. Over here trying to say everything's collaborative. You're not even here.
2 weeks in a row.
Question for our fans of the week. Will UK Tom be back on next week's episode? He's saying yes.
He says yes, but I don't know. Because he's been off from work because he's got family visiting, doing his thing.
Which must be nice.
It must be amazing. I bet it is. She probably brought him snacks from overseas.
Oh, yeah. He posted those immediately.
Yeah. He probably got some Wimbley tumblers.
There it is.
Something like that.
Yeah. My favorite is when Scotty assumes he knows what's happening in any other place other than Canada. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you got there? Oh, these are me bloody owls. One of those. And he's not sharing, which is fine.
He has shared his snacks with
us. I will be. Yes. He has shared.
We can't bury him that. He's shared.
He has
not many.
Shared.
Because much like you, he's a portly fellow.
That's right. There was the one snack he gave us. I think it was like a gummy like bunny or something like that. I haven't stopped thinking about it. It was so goddamn good.
You know what? He may have more. He may share. But he may listen back to the last 2 weeks of episodes and immediately change his mind.
But yeah, I think he will be back. But there could be the whole when he gets back to work. Just gets crushed with work and he just doesn't have time.
When he gets crushed with work or he's irritated, it's best for the pod.
That is true. That's when the Toyota
it's
comes
like
out.
When Toyota Tom comes out. Everyone, like, people, you got to love it. If you don't get Toyota Tom episodes, you'd be like, what happened to this show? Like,
you're missing out.
He is a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I thought I was the sole reason we would never get interviews with. We get interviews, and we thank everyone there.
Yeah,
because you know who I am. You obviously know who Scotty is, mm-hmm. and you know UK Tom.
Yep.
If we ever have a shot of getting anyone from the Fed, that list is very, very small. Or I won't be allowed.
By the way, things are going, it's just going to be Drew McIntyre.
Yeah, Drew McIntyre.
Universally
I mean,
loved.
You'd get to interview Cody.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Give me my Wheatley vodka and a tracksuit.
Finn Balor's out.
I love Finn, but he's taken a lot of shots on his pod, so he's out.
At least 50 episodes
yeah,
of being called absolutely. A fucking loser.
Becky, another Irishman, will never join this podcast.
No.
All three of us don't like
it. Which means Seth probably wouldn't do
Seth's
the pod.
Out, and that's fine, as he should be. He's.
I mean, I don't think that's fair.
Stand up for his woman.
Yeah. I didn't say you were bad. Your wife is, you know, I got the issues with.
Yeah, and... Well, no, I've said some shit about Seth.
Tony Khan would never do the show.
He's not coming on the show.
No.
Not one bit. You know what? Rhea Ripley 100% would come on the show.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think Io Sky would 100% come on the show.
Yeah.
Asuka? I don't think... Yeah.
I don't think... Never a negative thing about Asuka.
No. I think majority of the women's roster would come on the show because they're killing
it. I think the big one is, would Triple H come on the show?
Oh, man. Yeah, I think he would. I'm going to say yes, because I think he'd be like, I need to set these boys straight, but they're from the era. They've got some attitude. They
I mean, mostly attitude.
Yeah.
The shit we talk.
Yeah.
Which also, do you think people listening, you listeners, tell us, is it too much shit talk? Because I won't stop it. I just want, I'm just curious if you're listening to the pod for like hard hitting news or facts, because you've got the internet.
Yeah.
And we're not just going to regurgitate news stories that our friends who also don't like us, the John Ross or the Ross Saps of the world and the Dave Meltzers. You know, there was a time I think Uncle Dave would have done the show.
Ooh, that didn't last long, though.
No.
Not long.
Was a time. There was a time, I think, that could have happened.
You were a big Uncle Dave guy for a little bit there. Yeah. You brought him up quite a bit.
Yeah.
And Mike's right. We're not dirt sheets. Just fans reacting into a microphone instead of doing it just without microphones.
I'm actually stoked if you think I know nothing.
Yeah.
I will be okay and sleep just fine at night. Yeah. Monday Night Mike doesn't know a lot, and he's gone through a lot of names. It was simpler times when the pod started, guys.
Right?
It was simpler times.
Yeah. So, some of my favorite radio shows and podcasts, sure, I tuned in because initially it's the content, but eventually I just like the guys, and I like hearing them interact because I know that they're friends, and it's fun for me, and it's entertainment, and I feel like that's what this show has turned into. I mean, Jesus Christ, we talked about Pepsi versus Coke for 20 minutes.
Oh, man, people should be stoked on these episodes. The in-person episodes are...
Yeah.
We're not tied down by the time limit.
Yeah, we usually do it over Zoom. I'm not paying for fucking Zoom. I pay for RSS feeds. I'm not paying for Zoom.
And I'd also say, too, I'm like, I think it's better for the listener when they're airtight, right? But I think, like...
Yep. But we have had comments of people being like, you need to make your show longer. And we've gotten that when we're at wrestling shows, being like, I need more than 35 minutes. Or
I guess you're right, because you're getting 35 minutes a week.
Yep.
I mean, the guys love an emergency pod. I'm right without emergency pods.
I think we've done a good job of filtering them to be impactful.
For sure. I think it's nice, too, if it's a topic that you and Tom do it.
Yeah.
I'm fine to not be on the emergency.
Yeah, pods. And it's if it's something we're passionate about and we don't want to wait till the pod, whether it's reviewing a wrestling show or if it's just something breaking. I mean, when the Vince McMahon news broke back in the day, because you broke that news to me, when Vince up and retired out of nowhere, yeah. I left work. I was in the middle of sitting at my desk, hacking away at an email. And my buddy Mike calls, and I just answer the phone, and I don't think there was a hello or anything. It was like, Vince McMahon just retired. I got up and left the building. I cut laps around the building, and it's a glass building. People are like, what are you doing? And I'm just like, I'll be back. Vince McMahon just retired. What the fuck do I do?
Yeah. Like, my day is turned upside down.
Exactly. So it's emergency pods will come when they're warranted. There may be times where Tom and I, or Mike and I, or Mike and Tom just want to talk wrestling, and it may not be an emergency pod. It might be a small package. We've done a couple of those, yeah, too. It might be some fun features, but emergency pods, I agree. I think we filter them to be like, oh, this is so big, we have to talk about it now. And that's what they'll be in the future.
Now, to end this palooza of a show, it's 2 weeks. You know what? We turned WrestlePalooza into a two-week affair.
Yeah, you're welcome.
But of course, there's people we always have to thank. You know what? We've been thankless lately.
We have been.
We have been.
Very selfish lately.
Big thanks to our friends at Caravan Curio and Collectibles.
Absolutely.
For always supporting the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast show. You can check them out here in Regina, Saskatchewan. If I knew the address, I'd tell them. Obviously, you all have a phone or some kind of device to listen to this show on. Caravan Curio Collectibles. Check them out. Bunch of awesome stuff in there. Great people who own it. Locally owned business.
Including wrestling stuff. They have a whole wrestling section of figures, shirts, old magazines, masks. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
So, Caravan with a K. Just Google it. If you follow us on any of the socials, especially on Instagram, I'm usually resharing their stuff because it's awesome. So, yeah, massive shout out to Caravan.
And I know, big shouts out, obviously, to Reaper Wrestling, CWE, and, of course, Ringside Wrestling.
Yep.
Always showing love.
Absolutely.
And, as always, thank you, the listener. Fuck you. This has been the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. Welcome to my house. Play that music too loud. Show me what you do now. We don't have to go out. Welcome to my house. Welcome to my house. Welcome to my house. It's my house. Yowie wowie.